I've been asked to speak in this subject on this hour on the subject of parenting, and I've titled the presentation on how to be a goal-oriented parent, grandparent, or a youth worker. And if you do any amount of counseling at all in our day and time, you're going to find yourself working with people whose families are in trouble. In fact, if there's one area where our churches could certainly be reaching out to our community and offering some answers where our communities are hurting, it's in the area of not just husband-wife relationships, but parent-child relationships. I mean, families in America are in a heap of trouble. And our churches, through the Word of God, we can offer some lasting principles, some lasting direction to really help people. So here are some things that are designed to help you maybe just sharpen a bit your thinking about parenting and to help prepare you to do more precise, maybe more careful, more helpful counseling in the arena of parent-child counseling. Okay, when it comes to being a goal-oriented parent, grandparent, or a youth worker, the first thing you have to do is decide who you're going to listen to regarding parenting. And I mention that not to be flippant, but in my mind, that's a real issue. Because it seems like today, many more people are listening to Oprah or Dr. Phil to get their principles on parenting, or Dear Ann in the newspaper, than they are listening to the Scriptures. And one of the things that we're going to have to do today is to make a case and call people to direct their attention to the Scriptures regarding parenting. Well, I certainly enthusiastically recommend God and His Word. And let me tell you two reasons why I do that. Number one, I'm at a point in life now where I'm reaping the benefits of having tried to be a biblical parent over the years while I was raising my children. And Cindy and I were certainly not perfect parents, and the grace of God has been abundant in our lives, but we were so thankful as a young couple when we found out that we were pregnant to have already had our orientation headed toward the Scriptures, to be convinced that the Bible on this subject was a book of answers, not a book of questions. And as we headed our life in the direction of trying to be biblical and as much as we could to implement biblical principles into our parenting, that gave us a clear direction on how to handle the difficult issues that you inevitably face as you're raising children. And my children are now grown. They have their own kids. And I'm at a point in life where I just have this wonderful privilege of being a dad who it's easy for me to talk about parenting because I have kids who are bringing honor and glory to the Lord and who are a great joy to me. So, in fact, I can't talk about the subject of parenting without just giving glory to God for what has happened in our own family. But I also enthusiastically recommend God and His Word because of how clear and how precise I have seen it in changing the people who come for counseling. And it doesn't matter how big the mess is that people come to you with their families or their extended families and so forth, the Scriptures are going to give you biblical principles, give you principles which will guide you in sorting those out and helping people to pick up the pieces as best they can and to move forward in a way that would be productive for the child, but also to bring glory to God. In my mind, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 is the single most helpful verse in the New Testament on the subject of parenting. And in the counseling room, this is the passage that I would use as the springboard to teach biblical principles of parenting. And you're aware of the verse. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." And I have my counselees open to that verse. I have the father read it, and then I just start taking that verse apart, phrase by phrase, explaining it. May use the whiteboard around me to draw a diagram that I'll show you toward the end of this session. And use this verse to kind of be the springboard to teach about biblical principles of parenting. And that's kind of what I'm going to do with you. The one I've been asked to focus on in this particular session is that first phrase where it says, you know, bring your children up. And I'm going to skip over the part that says don't provoke them to anger. That could be a whole session in and of itself. But I've been asked to address this matter of what does it mean to be a goal-oriented parent or a grandparent or a youth leader. Now, adopt as your goal, if you're going to be a goal-oriented parent, adopt as your goal to bring them up. Now, bring up means to nourish up to maturity, to nurture, or to rear up. It's a it's the Greek word ektrephete, and the structure of the verb indicates three key concepts that relate to the matter of parenting. First, the structure of the verb indicates that children do not grow up automatically to be what God wants them to be. The verb makes it clear, you bring them up, indicating that children won't do that left to themselves. In fact, the scripture teaches that left to themselves, the children do the opposite. I mean, you know, Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, okay? And left to themselves, the scripture says, a child will bring grief and sadness to his mother. So the way God put this verb together, it indicates that parents have a distinct responsibility to do this. In fact, the way the verb is put together, it is a command, not a suggestion. And that means that as we speak to parents in the counseling room, we can say to them, look, this is not an option that you get to vote on. You have got to do this. I mean, God just clearly commands that this is what you have to do. And he puts it in a form that indicates that this is a task in which parents must be continually involved. The verb form stresses just an ongoing action. In other words, when parents are in that phase of life where they're rearing their children, this is an ongoing responsibility. I understand it to mean that when a husband and wife get pregnant, that basically they've signed up for an 18 to 22 year commitment on bringing the child up. Because as I'll show you in a bit, in our culture, it typically takes about 18 to 22 years to raise a child until they leave and go establish their own home. Now, this is a task in which parents must be continually involved. I've learned in the counseling room to park beside this one a little bit, because parents, I think, have a tendency to do what I would call go off duty, or to unplug from parenting. Let me just mention four areas where I think parents typically have a tendency to unplug or go off duty. Number one would be Walmart. And I don't know what it's like for you, but it just seems like I can't go to a Walmart or Meijer or another major shopping store and do any amount of shopping, being there, you know, any amount of time at all without having the force to listen to some screaming kid totally out of control, or to be dodging kids that are racing up and down the aisles and so forth. And you think, man, what happened to the parents or something? And you discover they're around, but they're unplugged, all right? Or another one, at least where I live in Indianapolis, it seems like parents tend to go off duty in restaurants. I mean, I just would encourage you to pay attention. See how many times you can go to a restaurant, even a nicer restaurant, and you will not be able to eat a whole meal without being forced to listen to some child that's out of control and some parents that are totally incapable of getting, appear to be totally incapable of getting control of the child. A while back, Cindy and I had decided to eat out one night, and we both had hectic days, and we're looking forward just to a quiet meal and some conversation and everything. And partway through the meal, a family came in, and I had a sense, just as I watched them walking in, that we're in for trouble. Sure enough, you know, they had barely been seated when the child starts expressing their desires and when ordering the food, arguing with the parents about it and everything. And the child was just totally out of control. Partway as we were finishing our meal, I leaned across the table at one point and said to Cindy, I'd like to go over there and heal that kid. She said, leaned over and said, I'd like to go over there and heal those parents. Well, the point is, I mean, they were there, but it's like they're oblivious to it. You know, I mean, have you noticed sometimes in stores or restaurants, the parents will talk loud enough to the child, I mean, way louder than they need to get the child's attention, because I think it's almost like they're wanting to announce to you, I'm trying to do something about this. But it doesn't do anything about it, you see. Another place where parents tend to go off duty would be maybe the home of friends, or maybe the home of parents, grandparents. And, of course, some of us as church leaders would say that one place where people tend to go off duty is the church, right? It's almost like some churches have an electronic device that when the family walks in,